I think that I took it as a, you know, personal challenge to, you know, have that quarterback room be in the Heisman conversation year in and year out. We've had a lot of those here at Ohio State, but certainly a challenge to get guys in, you know, drafted in the first round. And that's what Ohio State has a great history of, and all positions. And now, you know, the last, you know, couple of years, we've had some really good quarterbacks here. And so I think it's exciting. I think it's an exciting time to be a quarterback. And I think recruits see that.
Next up, Jared Smalley with WCMH Channel 4 and Rob Aller on deck. Jared?
Hi, Ryan. In watching college football here the past few weeks, we have seen this interesting trend of really traditionally excellent defenses struggle. Just over the past weekend, you look at Alabama and LSU, teams that are phenomenal athletically on defense have had trouble defending here early on. There's a number of possible explanations, right, with no spring football, some other things that individual schools have gone through with COVID. So there could be a number of explanations. My question is, as you viewed what's happening in college football right now, has it given you any pause or had you helped you maybe rethink planning defensively as you get ready to play the first game, simplifying things? How you evaluate what's gone on versus how you get your own team ready?
Yeah, we've done a lot of that. We've shown clips of different teams, and hopefully we can learn from some things that have happened over the last few weeks in college football and then, you know, in the NFL season so far. And just trying to emphasize those things. There's nothing that takes the place of practicing with pads on and having spring ball in a preseason. But, you know, I think having an awareness of it and emphasis on pad level tackling, I think are critically important. You know, there's more to it than just tackling. You know, I think it's guys running to the football and being in great shape and playing on contact strong. But it's all things that we're bringing up on a weekly basis, showing them clips, and hopefully learning from what's been out there.
And Ryan, in terms of game planning specifically for Nebraska, you found out a little bit later than usual that was going to be your opening opponent. How did you go about developing a game plan then? And how far are you now into a game plan where you're a little more than a week out?
Yeah, we've been really focused on us, but we have been watching them when we can. Had a good off day yesterday, and we'll spend a bunch of time on Nebraska. But so much of it is making sure that our guys are fundamentally sound right now. We're still having a bunch of good on good this week, mixing in some of the Nebraska, so a little bit of a hybrid week that way. But yeah, so to answer your question, you know, we didn't have as much time as we typically would in the off season to go ahead and study somebody. But it's more than you would for a normal opponent late in the season. So I think we'll be in good shape there. The biggest thing is taking care of the football, tackling, pad level, penalties, and playing a clean game.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yep. Next up, Rob Aller with the Columbus Dispatch and Mitch Stacy on deck. Rob?
Hey, Ryan. Sort of variation on both those themes. Do you change your game plan? Would you possibly change your game plan based on defense being a little weaker, maybe what you've watched nationally so far, or do you just do what you do and not worry about it?
No, we do what we do, and we feel strong about our defense. We feel strong about our scheme, and the coaches on that side of the ball got a lot of experience. We have great leadership there, and we know that we have good players there because they've done it before. There's a good experience there, especially at the linebacker level. Coop's back. You got Sean Wade. So there's a lot of experience to draw upon. There are some young guys back there, and that's something that you stay up late at night, you know, worrying what that's going to look like. But you can't change what you do. I mean, you just have to make sure that the guys are ready to play fast and make sure they're fresh and prepared. Because a lot of it, you know, conditioning too is important, and making sure that they're ready to go in the fourth quarter. Another part of that is making sure we have enough depth so that we can play several guys at different positions. So all those things play into playing good defense. And, on offense, we got to do a good job as well. We can't put them into a short field. You know, there's been a lot of turnovers in college football, and, you know, turnovers in special teams. There's punt blocks. There's different things going on. And to give them a short field is not good. So we'll do everything we can to make sure that we're helping on our side. And we got to do a great job with, you know, tackling and wrapping up. You know, I see a lot of that going on right now. So all those conversations are being had, and the focus continues.
Is it possible that the delayed start, there's a silver lining to allowing you to get your defense maybe a little more up to snuff with tackling? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that it's given us something to learn from. I think it's something that we can hopefully identify what's going on in college football right now and look to get out in front of it. But I'm sure there's a lot of coaches out there that are saying the same thing nationwide. It's not like there's not great coaches out there that are saying we need to do a good job with tackling, pad level, and running the ball. So, you know, what is it that's going on? It's something that we all have to work through and identify, and hopefully we can do that.
Next up, Mitch Stacy with the Associated Press and Colin Hass-Hill on deck. Mitch?
Hi, Ryan. This has been a very unique situation in that you've gotten to spend so much extra time with your starting quarterback. He talked a little bit about, you know, your sessions during the weekdays, during the off time. And I just wonder, how much better do you feel like you know the kid and, like, what makes him tick? And, you know, what's the value in that as far as your relationship between the two of you goes?
That's a good question. I think there's a lot of value to it. You know, it's one thing to see what goes on in the field, but, you know, this time has allowed us to spend a little more time together, and I get a chance to learn more about what does make him tick, what he's picking up in meetings, and then what he's able to take to the field, and the strengths, his weaknesses, the things that fire him up and motivate him. So, yeah, there's a lot there, and he's a special young man that – I've really grown very close to and think the world of him, and I'm just so happy that he's going to have an opportunity to play this season.
Do you feel like you know him a lot better than you knew him last year?
I don't know about a lot, but yeah, the more you're around each other and the more time you spend, certainly that relationship gets stronger and stronger. So yeah, I would say significantly better than last year, and it'll continue to grow throughout the season.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yep.
Next up, Colin Hass-Hill with 11 Warriors and Bill Rabinowitz on deck. Colin?
Ryan, Justin was just in here talking about how he wants to be the best quarterback in the country. And I know you guys have a talented wide receiver room. You guys have multiple running backs, a good offensive line. I think there's a sense from the outside that you guys have a chance to be really special on offense. So I was just wondering, do you get that sense when you're with the offensive players and coaches in the building, and how do you make sure that you maximize all these guys that you have offensively?
Well, the first thing is you can't be selfish, because we do have different playmakers, and you can't get too far ahead of yourself. You start thinking big like that, you'll get knocked out in the first round. So we have to make sure we're doing all the little things, not the flashy things, really well. The big things will come, the big plays will come. But we have got to take care of the football, whether it's the quarterback, the running back, the receivers, the tight ends, whoever's touching the football, that ball has to be secure. Nothing matters. Talent doesn't matter. Speed doesn't matter. Experience doesn't matter if you turn the football over. So we cannot do that. The second thing is, we have to play with toughness. The offensive line has to win the line of scrimmage. We have got to run with our pads down. We have to block on the perimeter. And the last thing is, we got to play smart. We can't play, behind the sticks in terms of penalties or anything like that. And that has got to be our focus. It can't be anything else. Big plays will come because we do have some talent. But none of that matters if we don't take care of those first three things. And that's all we're focused on right now. It's going to be reemphasized today. And we just got to focus on that as we roll into the 24th.
Then I just wanted to ask specifically about quarterback coaching. How are you guys right now splitting up that on a day-to-day basis with what you're doing and what Corey's doing?
Yeah, Corey meets with the quarterbacks regularly, and every once in a while I'll grab Justin or one of the quarterbacks and spend some time with them. The one thing in that room is that, Justin's been here for a year. Gunner's been here for a year. So those guys, their learning level is a little bit different than the two freshmen. So there are times where we'll split up the work a little bit just because they're at different levels. But most of the time they're with Corey.
Thanks.
Next up, Bill Rabinowitz with the Columbus Dispatch and Doug Lamorese on deck. Bill?
Hi, Ryan. Jordan Fuller was such a reliable guy as your lone safety last year most of the time. How comfortable are you with your safeties this year? I assume you envision playing the same style, and where does that position stand right now?
Well, yeah, Jordan was probably the big, you know, the most unsung hero last season. I mean, played really, really well. You know, he did get some recognition, but probably not as much as he deserved. He got everybody in the right calls. He communicated well. He tackled well. He really ran the middle of the field. And so you can see what he's doing in the NFL. I mean, he's doing a great job there. So that was a big void there that we need to get filled. I think that the safeties, Proc and Hook and Bryson Shaw, Lathan Ransom, you know, those guys are all working hard and they've shown flashes. They've done a good job. Consistency is critical. And as we get into that first game, they just have to play. And it's hard to get a real feel for it until we get out in the field and play that first game. But they have improved. Kerry's doing a great job with them. They've shown flashes. And they're really striving this week to be a little more consistent. But overall, pleased with what we've seen.
Is there a leader there?
I mean, I think, you know, they've all shown good things. You know, we'll kind of see, you know, as we get into the first game. I think the thing that we talk about all the time is that, you know, we try to play as many guys as we can. And if that means playing three guys, we play three guys. If it means playing one, we play one. It's whoever, you know, we think deserves an opportunity to play. And then just like any other position, we'll play multiple guys if they deserve the opportunity based on how they practice. So, you know, we'll kind of see who we think can be game ready going into next week and go from there.
You guys tweeted out the thing yesterday about going to vote. Is that something that you've emphasized? Is that how much of a topic of discussion is that?
You know, it's something that, you know, Ryan Stamper's done an unbelievable job with our players and our leadership council and our player development, making sure that guys have an opportunity to vote. And I think the guys have done a great job with that. It's something that some of the guys on the team felt really, really strongly about. And so, you know, they're going to have the opportunity to do that. We're able to maybe help with a little bit of the getting that done before before the third. NCAA is actually not allowing us to practice that day. So we'll have to plan accordingly there. But we've got guys registered here, and Ryan Stamper's done a great job of that.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yep.
Next up, Doug LeMaurice with Cleveland.com and Patrick Murphy on deck. Doug?
Ryan, now you have a few more practices under your belt. How have the four receivers looked, and do you notice that, you know, the lack of spring practice or what you guys missed during the pandemic, how much is that affecting those four young receivers especially?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there's two things. I think one, I've been pleased with how they run routes, learn the plays, learn the intricacies of the position. I think the thing that's hurt is not being in pads because playing the position is different when you have pads on. And we won't really know until they catch the ball and get hit and tackled in a game on a consistent basis. And that's the biggest thing that you know, keeps you up at night. But at the end of the day, I think they have talent. They've improved. They've shown that they care about you know, doing things the right way. They've spent a lot of time with Coach Hartline and making sure that you know, they're where they need to be when they need to be there. They've all shown that they want to take care of the football, and they've all made big plays. So, you know, we'll see. I wish we had more time with pads on with them, but it's time to go. And we'll work harder this week to keep, you know, challenge them in that area. But again, if we just take care, if we block and we take care of the football, we're going to have a great season with those guys out there. But that's the thing you just don't know until you play in a real game.
What's your sense at the moment of how a six-man receiver rotation might shake out?
Yeah, no, that's typically been the numbers that we've used. We also, you know, have multiple tight ends that we feel comfortable using as well. So, you know, the combination of having six receivers and then multiple tight ends, I think, is the right recipe for us.
And you think you feel comfortable, at least some of those freshman receivers could be in that six?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, also multiple running backs in the game at the same time is something that we've spent some time on and looked at. So that's, you know, we the good news is we have some different options, which is great, but we plan on playing some young guys for sure.
Next up, Patrick Murphy with 24/7 Sports and Jeremy Birmingham on deck. Patrick?
Right. Ryan, you were asked earlier about the time spent between you and Corey with the quarterbacks. I'm curious, given, you know, you want to have Justin up to speed, but you do have these two young freshmen that at some point will need to step in, whether that's after this year, in 2 years, whatever. How much time do you guys devote to getting those guys ready? And, you know, Corey mentioned that the guys have to be able to step in at any moment. You never know what's going to happen. How prepared are these guys, and how much time are you focusing on them when you have two other guys in that room as well?
Yeah, we spend just as much time as any other position in making sure those guys are ready to go. And there's been a lot of meeting time, because that's really what we've had the most of between last March and now. But the thing you just can't replicate are the reps, and certainly the team reps and the reps with pads on. So, you know, they haven't been meeting, you know, any more than any other quarterback. They've done a decent job of that, of picking up a lot of offense. But until you get them on the field and playing in a real game, you just don't know. You know, we try in the stadium to replicate it as best we can. And anytime you have young quarterbacks out there, you see a lot of stuff that maybe you haven't seen before, and they learn and they grow. So we'll continue to do that on Saturday. That'll be our, I guess, fourth time in the stadium. And we just keep growing. But yeah, I mean, you know, quarterbacks do, you know, and they probably do the most meeting of all the positions, but they're not doing any more than anybody else.
And how is Justin with the guys? We've heard a lot about his leadership, but how does he kind of take them under his wing?
I mean, he just shows them the way it's supposed to look in practice, his effort, his attention to detail, the way he shows up every day to work, way he's in the weight room, way he prepares like a pro, takes care of his body. I mean, all those things are just a great role model, which is kind of the way it's been here. You know, when I first got here, JT showed the way to Dwayne and Joe, and then they showed the way, you know, to some of the younger guys, and now Justin's doing the same thing.
Next up, Jeremy Birmingham with Letterman Row, and Tim May on deck. Jeremy?
Ryan, with so many recruits around the country kind of clamoring for the dead period to end, from my vantage point, it doesn't seem like it would actually be a positive for you guys, because there seems like there's more risk than you would maybe gain if it was ended. With so few targets left in 21, how are you balancing what those recruits are needing to still get out of the process and what you guys are able to provide with the backdrop of trying to win a national championship?
Yeah, it's been difficult for them mostly. I feel really bad for the recruits and their families, and that they haven't been able to, you know, be. We know what this is, and, you know, we've been able to get a good feel for our recruits and their family, and we feel really, really strongly that we have a great fit in this class. But there's just been, you know, some guys that haven't had the opportunity to come spend time in our culture, around our campus, around our players. The cool thing is, I think they communicate with the guys who have been around, and they get a feel for it that way. But I think, you know, when they do get here, they're just going to love it even more. And so there's not much we can do about it. Is it difficult? Sure is. It's hard, but we're making the best of it. It's the same across the board. So it's just like we mentioned with anything else, we just have to handle it better than everybody else and find that right fit. So, you know, and there's still a couple more spots out there that we're working at and trying to figure out what that is. And hopefully we're able to get guys on campus in January.
With that being the case, obviously, I mean, you guys are aware of the trend of players kind of organizing their own stuff. What type of safeguards do you guys have in place to make sure when that does happen that you are aware of exactly where they are, when you can talk to them, in that sort of arrangement?
Yeah, we just have to stay out of all of that. You know, if we ever hear of anything, we immediately call Justin Cumey in our compliance and make sure that everything's being followed. First off, you know, through an NCAA compliance, you know, protocol, but also because of COVID and other things like that. So we can't really get involved with that. But at the same time, you know, we understand, you know, that some of these guys just want to be a part of this thing. So it's kind of out of our hands, and we just kind of rely on compliance to help us.
Next up, Tim May with the Tim May Podcast and Letterman Row, and Stephen Means on deck. Tim?
Thank you very much. Brian, for want of another term, as a professor of football, what is it like to have a player who wants to know more, like Justin, who wants to understand thoroughly what you're thinking, et cetera? What is that like, dealing with a player like that?
That's typically what you get when you have somebody here for multiple years. The first year, they're trying to learn the offense. They're trying to figure out how to make it work, you know, the ins and the outs. And then when they become fluent in the language, they start to learn the whys And again, the first year it's like, what am I doing? The second year it's usually, why am I doing it? And that's kind of where he's at right now. I think he's trying to figure out, you know, why we do things. And we're getting to the point now where, you know, when he hears a call, he knows what I'm thinking. He knows what Kevin Wilson's thinking. And that's really, really important. And that's when you can take it to the next level. And, you know, again, I wish we had more time to practice on the field over the last couple months, but we're doing a good job. He's doing a great job, and we'll just keep growing from there. But that's the idea.
Hey, more of a quickie. When you get ready for a Nebraska right now, are you just looking at stuff from last year? I mean, obviously you have to do that, I would guess, but how just uncertain is it preparing for an opponent, which could have changed a lot of things over the off season?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing for them though. You know, they don't have any film on us, and we don't have any film on them. So yeah, it's tricky. And maybe that has to do with some of the stuff that you're seeing across college football. Yeah. But again, it is what it is, and we just have to do a better job of handling it.
Thanks, man.
Yep.
Hey guys, I want to try to get everyone who's got a question for Coach in. So if we could try to limit it to one question now. Next up, Stephen Means with Cleveland.com and Dan Hope on deck. Stephen.
Hey Ryan, over the summer you were kind of one of the first programs in college football to, you know, speak out about some of the social justice issues that were going on out in the world. Obviously, some other programs have since followed. Clemson has kind of taken a page out of the NBA's book and allowed players to wear different messages on the back of their jerseys. Have you guys had any conversations about doing anything similar to that or doing anything at all regarding that issue?
Yeah, we have. Again, Ryan Stamper's met with our leadership committee. And, you know, we are talking about that right now, about, you know, putting something on the back of our helmets. You know, we're going to probably make the final decision on that here by the end of the week. But you know, I'm really proud of our players. And this is something that they've led from the inside out, something they feel strong about. And I think, like I've said from the beginning, you know, it's a job of the coaches and the head coach to advocate for the players and their voices. And I think that's been clear, you know, going back all the way to the beginning of this thing, that we believe in that here. And very, very proud of the way that our guys have handled that. And we all do. We feel like, you know, it matters, the voice of the player, and we'll, you know, continue to support that.
Next up, Dan Hope with 11 Warriors and Dave Biddle on deck. Dan?
Hey, Ryan. I mean, obviously this has been a really different offseason than what you had last year, but just going into, you know, this second season as a head coach, just what's different, you know, going into this year from where you were last year? And, you know, are there things that still kind of feel the same?
Yeah. I mean, the easy question, the easy thing to say what's different, you could say everything, but that's not true. Although it seems like it some days. Seems like everything's different, but it's not. It's just the timing's different in terms of not having a typical preseason. The start of the season is different. You know, the schedule's different. But at the end of the day, it comes down to football. And, you know, nothing's changed with that. You know, if you turn the ball over, you got a chance to lose the game. If you don't tackle, you have a chance to lose the game. If you don't win the line of scrimmage, you have a chance to lose the game. You know, you have a lot of penalties, you put yourself at risk. So it's all that hasn't changed. I mean, the game is the game, but it's going to be different. I mean, you know, playing in through the end of December, playing an 8-game schedule, all those things that we all know are very different. And but like we say, at the end of the day, it just still comes down to football. It comes down to leadership. It comes down to the guys, you know, taking ownership of the team and leading from the inside out. And that's what it comes down to. And so that part has stayed consistent, and we'll just keep focusing on those things.
Next up, Dave Biddle with 24/7 Sports and Tony Gergman on deck. Dave?
Hi, Ryan. Is depth at 3-tech defensive tackle your biggest concern right now, personnel-wise? And if not, maybe what is?
Yeah, I would say, you know, probably the inside tackles are the biggest concern in terms of depth. You know, I think everywhere else you got pretty good depth across the board. But, you know, hopefully we can get a few of those guys back here and then kind of go. The good news is, you know, you have some really good bodies in that room, you know, even though there are, you know, more defensive ends available. You know, so there's different things we can do, different looks we can give, different fronts. And so, you know, we'll solve the problem. But it's definitely a group that has to step up and has to create depth.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, Tony Gerdman with Buckeye Scoop and Bill Landis on deck. Tony?
Ryan, when you're like just by yourself or with your offensive staff, how much does everything Justin Fields can do, how much does that challenge you as a coach, as a play caller, as a coordinator to maximize him and not just rely on what you guys have done in the past?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, but that's something we focus on all the time. I do think part of this offseason and the key to being successful is that, you know, there's been so much time to, study different schemes, look at different people, look at the way they attack people, is not overwhelming the players with plays, is finding the right ones that do fit and do fit our personnel. I think that's really important, and I think that's one of those things that we have to be right on, because what happens is you can run too many plays and it just gets crazy, or too many defenses. And so finding the right ones for the guys that you have on the team currently is as important now as it's ever been.
Thank you.
Next up, Bill Landis with The Athletic and Clay Hall on deck. Bill?
Hey, Ryan, do you guys have any clarity at right tackle right now in terms of who the starter will be? And just maybe just sort of in general, what have you thought of Nick and Paris going through this camp?
No, they're doing great. They're both doing great. They'll both play. I don't know. You just don't know until you get into the game week. I would say that Nick right now is taking most of the reps with the ones. He looks really strong, has had a really good camp. But we're going to play multiple guys, and it just matters, coming into next week, when Stud and I sit down and figure out, who are the guys that are going to play in the game? And we figure that out and try to figure out the rep count and go from there. But both of those guys will play. I would say that I'm very impressed with the way Nick had an unbelievable offseason. He's had a really good preseason, and I think he's going to have a heck of a year.
Thanks.
Next up, Clay Hall, WSYX TV, and Nathan Baird on deck. Clay?
Hey, Ryan, when I hear you talk about pad level and take care of the ball, it seems like it's the message of be brilliant at the basics, and I'm reminded of, I think, of a sign that used to hang in the halls of Channel 6. Is that grown out of watching this first 4, 5, 6 weeks and the upsets that have occurred?
Yeah. I mean, that's something we always talk about. But watching these games, it certainly makes you reemphasize as a coach those like you said, the basic things. It would always be an emphasis, but it's a little bit more of a, shining light on those things based on, kind of what we've seen, what we've learned for the first few weeks.
Thanks.
Next up, Nathan Baird with Cleveland.com and Austin Ward on deck. Nathan?
Hey, Ryan, can you sort of compare and contrast how you see Justin Fields reacting and processing to disappointments or failures or losses like what you ended last season with compared to just other great quarterbacks that you've worked with?
One thing about Justin is he doesn't get rattled. He is very composed, doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low, but he's driven and his fire runs really hot inside. He's very, very competitive. I know leaving that field last year just fueled his fire, and that's really what's motivated him this whole offseason. He's not the only one. I know there's a couple other guys out there, Chris Olave, Jonathan Cooper, just a bunch of guys out there, Tuff Borland, Pete Warner. There's some guys out there, Josh Myers, that just it didn't sit well with them the way the season ended. So they've handled things the right way. They had a great offseason. We came back. We had a really great workout, winter workouts. Mick put together a great program, and going into spring season, we were ready to roll. And then we had to kind of spend, all of the spring and most, a good portion of the summer apart from each other. And so the motivation had to come from within. And I thought Justin did a great job of that, his body putting the work in. And hopefully all that pays off for us when we get going on the 24th, because I'm really proud of the way those guys have worked hard. And a lot of it has been on their own.
Next up, Austin Ward, Letterman Row with Joey Kaufman on deck. Austin?
Ryan, I know that you've built a culture where the competition never stops. But in terms of having a plan for October 24th and who all is going to play, you've touched a little bit on right tackle, three technique, and safety. How many positions do you really feel like maybe going into this weekend and that last time in the horseshoe that you don't, you're not 100% certain about how it'll shake out?
I don't really have a number, but the thing that I just always talk about is, you know, we're going to play depth at every position, you know, so whether it's Sean Wade playing corner, he's not going to play every snap. You know, whether it's Master Teague playing tailback, he's not going to play every snap. You know, Justin Fields will, but that's about it. You know, our tight ends, you know, we're going to roll guys. And really the decision we make is, if you think about, you know, even the last couple of years here at wide receiver, we had great players, Terry McLaurin, Paris Campbell, Johnny Dixon. I mean, you go through the list of guys and they all played. We rolled guys on the defensive line rolled. You know, there were times last year where Devon Hamilton took 23 snaps in a game of, you know, 60, 70 snaps. So we constantly roll guys. And the question really becomes, is he game ready? Do we feel confident putting him in the game? If we do, then we're going to play depth. If we don't, then that's harder. And so that's where the depth is critically important, especially this season with all the unknowns, you know, with the virus and you know, all the things that can come down the road. So, you know, to answer your question, I mean, that's something we're still talking about. Who are the guys who are game ready? And there are some guys who are game ready right now, but there's still a good portion that aren't. And that's why this week is going to be a really strong week for us.
The last couple of questioners. First, Joey Kaufman with the Columbus Dispatch and Brendan Gulick on deck. Joey?
Ryan, what has it been like to just watch other college football games on Saturdays? Has it felt like having like six bye weeks? Are you eager to play antsy? Just emotionally, what has it been like to just be watching other games on TV?
Most of it's been torture. I mean, just not being able to play in games and watching these games has been really hard. There has been a part of it that I've actually enjoyed. But for the most part, it's been hard. And I just want to be playing. Just want to get these guys on the field and get rolling. And it's been some beautiful Saturdays. And I just kind of sometimes I'll be at my son's youth game or watching a game on TV thinking to myself, it's just amazing that it's the end of September, early October, and we're not playing. But again, you accept it and you focus on getting the guys better because, you know, we're, I guess, 11 days away now. So it's here, it's on us, and that's the focus.
Just as a quick follow-up, is there anything about this team that you are – excited about to see that we haven't asked about, or just a particular something you look forward to?
No, just getting out there and see what kind of team we have. I think that's the key. And I think I mentioned this last year, you know, the journey starts and you don't know where that journey is going to take you. But every year is different. Every group is different and it's not going to be perfect. Just not, you know, and I know we all have high hopes, but it's going to start with one play. It's going to start with one drive and it's going to start with one game and it's going to go from there. And that journey we're going to take is going to be a process. And that's the fun part. That's what's great about college football and figuring that out. And you know, what are the right pieces and what are the right things that motivates our guys. And that's going to be the fun part.
And final question for today comes from Brendan Gulick with Buckeyes Now on Sports Illustrated. Brendan?
Hey, Coach. Thanks for your time this afternoon. Hey, we had a chance to talk with Corey Dennis for a little bit earlier. And I realize he's been on your staff for a couple of years, but obviously it certainly seems like he's in a more important role now. Can you tell us what his best value to you is and maybe what his best asset is?
Yeah, he's got a lot of assets and he has a lot of value here. First off, he's very loyal. He grew up in this world. You know, his dad was a coach. His dad was an AD. He understands football. And he, first off, you know, believes in what we believe in here. I think that's really important. He's really sharp. He connects well with the players. And, you know, because of all those things, I mean, he's of a lot of value to all of us here. And I think, you know, his recruiting, he's got a bright future ahead of him. And so, you know, we're very pleased with what Corey's done so far and excited to see where it goes.
Great. Coach, thank you so much for your time today with our media. Media, thank you. Coach, have a great afternoon and an excellent practice, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, Jerry.